All right, everybody. Hello and welcome to the podcast for the Legend of Dragoon community. This is episode number 3. Together with my co-host, we're going to talk about the latest goings-on in the fandom. Today's main segment will be a look at my co-host's story in relation to LOD, but first we'll do our introductions and a few quick updates. So for myself, I'm Drew Universe. I do community organizing and contribute to various projects like the website, and I'm also currently working on the Tekken mod featuring LOD characters.
And my name's Cody. I've been playing The Legend of Dragoon since I was 10, but mostly on the internet I'm known for Legend of Zelda stuff.
Spoiler warning for anyone listening, any portion of this podcast may contain some kind of spoiler about Legend of Dragoon's story. So if you have not completed the main story of the game, we recommend finishing it first before listening to this series. And we've got episodes for download later, so you won't miss anything. On to some various news and updates. Cody, I was wondering if you would take the first one.
Oh, the art event?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's a art event, and I think the original one was for PLOS, just the random NPC in the starting village. But this time, it's Dragoons. So, you know, it can be any kind of Dragoon, even a Dragoon that doesn't exist. You know, if you're just like, oh, I wish Lavitz's mother was a Dragoon, then, you know, go for it.
I didn't see that coming, but that is valid. We can do that. Yeah, anyone can be drawn as a Dragoon. You know, I think about Pelpy myself. There's a line in the game in Donau where he's like, oh, I wish I had one of those shiny things. So if anyone draws Pelpy as a Dragoon, you'll have my favor, that's for sure. The next news item is some website progress. Last time in episode 2, I think I mentioned that we were working on some basic pages for the website, like character profiles and their additions. Since then, I have added all the I've added GIFs for every edition. So if you go to LOD.org, that's legendofdragoon.org, and you go to the game info part of the navigation and choose characters, whenever you pick one of the playable characters, Dart or Lavitz or whoever, part of their page will include a accordion table. And when you expand one of the additions, it'll just suddenly pop up with the GIF right there of them doing the addition. I thought that was a nice little way to spice up the pages. I've improved the Help Wanted page. Previously, that had kind of just a spattering of random projects that were not up to date anymore. So now it just shows the different ways you can help the fandom. It mentions projects in a very brief summary and links out to a different page, which I'll update later. It also mentions that we do monetary support now. We accept Ko-fi donations, and that you can help even if you have no skill whatsoever, like info hunting and stuff. So that page is all nice and neat now. Finally, I optimized some banner images, so they were loading a lot faster. They were not optimized, and the total of the banner images was almost 10 megabytes. So I optimized all those down to be a total of 146 kilobytes. So that way, whenever you load up the website, it's not going to be a long load time to start looking at things and navigating the menus and stuff.
And what's the URL for this website for people who are listening in on the podcast feed?
That is legendofdragoon.org. Speaking of menu stuff, we had some trouble. There was some kind of hang when people went to the website lately, and it would kind of the website would get stuck for 30 seconds. Monoxide helped me fix that, so a big thanks to Monoxide for helping fix some of our web troubles that way. The last news item I'll mention before we go into our main segment is Ko-fi donations. This has kind of been in the works for a few months as I've talked to our community council about how to go about it and everything. Ko-fi, like Patreon, is a crowdfunding platform, and we'd like to use it to help justify more consistency in our updates and increase services than we could do just as volunteers. So earnings will go to things like the web server costs first. That's like $35 a month. And once we ascend past that point, we can justify spending more time with features and updates and all kinds of things that'll just benefit the fandom as a whole. One of the things I would like to do for a stretch goal is save up for a real-life convention. I have a little experience doing convention stuff, and it feels to me like a bit of a crime that we've never had our own con to go to. We just kind of piggyback off of Dragon Con or whatever, and I'd like us to have our own thing. So there will be a separate post about that later on. But in short, if you want to contribute to the LOD fandom, we currently have that sorted out at ko-fi.com/Druniverse. So my name, Drew Universe, minus the U in the middle. I do kind of hybridize that because I can't do two like crowdfunding profiles with one bank account. So I've kind of fused it. Basically, you can DM me and tell me you want your money to only go to LOD stuff, and I'll make sure that happens instead of the other creative stuff I do. And we also have services, a services tab on that page, which is for one-off donations. So if you don't want to do a monthly and just want to give me $5 once towards the website, that's fine. So anyway, we'll have a separate post on that later detailing that and making that fully clear. On to our main segment. This time we'll be talking with our guest host, Cody, about their story with Legend of Dragoon and how that all began. So, Cody, if you would take it away and start by telling us how you got introduced to Legend of Dragoon.
So, for me, I basically just... It appeared in our house one day because my dad went out, got a 4-disc RPG, and we were all fascinated by it. Because we'd never had a multi-disc sort of big RPG before. I had played Pokemon. That was sort of that was my experience with traditional JRPGs. Was just catching them all. But The Legend of Dragoon was really big for me. We hadn't had Final Fantasy VII, which is the one that a lot of people start with on the PlayStation 1. So just having this game sort of, blew our minds, especially with all the cool cutscenes and everything that it had.
Right. And do you say LOD was not your first RPG? It was Pokemon?
Yeah. But I guess they're not quite the same. They're not quite the same thing, but they are, I guess, in terms of the idea of a long campaign where you level up and that kind of thing. But Pokemon doesn't have a dramatic, it doesn't suddenly switch to a big, full motion video or whatever that's like, in the beginning, and then have explosions and things. So like this was sort of my first experience with the big RPG.
Now I can't help but think of if a Game Boy Color game had FMVs.
Yeah, I mean, look, there were some weird experimental games back in those days. If you look at the CDI or whatever, I'm sure you can find some really odd stuff. But for me, I had my Game Boy and, a lot of people had Game Boys, and I played Pokemon on that, but for the PlayStation 1, we'd mostly been playing like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and that kind of thing, which, is a very good game, but not, well, similar in some ways to The Legend of Dragoon, but not in its structure.
I never thought I'd hear that about Tony Hawk. That's...
Oh yeah, well, I mean, the momentum of doing your attacks and stuff is sort of a lot of the fun of The Legend of Dragoon to me. And then you stack it because someone counterattacks you. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a Tony Hawk Pro Skater game, I think, The Legend of Dragoon.
All right. I'm going to have to quote you on that later.
So, yeah, this was, I don't know, like Final Fantasy VII, I think, was something that was so huge at the time. Are we allowed to have spoilers for Final Fantasy VII?
I suppose. FYI, if you haven't finished FF7, mute the next minute or two of the video, the audio. Go ahead.
So, look, the famous sort of Act 1 sort of twist in the original, in Final Fantasy VII, involves a character dying, like one of your playable characters. And to a lot of people, that was the big sort of like dramatic twist that defined their childhood. But for me, I guess it was the Lavitz situation in The Legend of Dragoon that was the big one for me.
Oh yeah. I'm sure a lot of people can relate there. Quick interjection. What would be your top picks for favorite playable character and also favorite villain?
So, favorite playable character, it would probably be Meru. Has just always been good, an exciting time to, as soon as I get her in a run of Legend of Dragoon, I'm sticking with keeping her in the party, even though she's sort of a bit useless for the first chunk of playtime with Meru, because
right.
She doesn't have Dragoon form and she's weak physically and she can just go double smack and do like 2 damage.
Yeah.
But you know, if you build it up, I love the sort of trope of characters, I guess, that if you build them up by the end of the game, they're incredibly powerful. And Meru has her final edition is one where its percentage damage boost is completely wild compared to, any other edition in the game. It's like 700% or something, isn't it?
Yeah, 600%, but still.
600%, yeah.
It gets pretty out there. It gets to the point where per effective, like damage per turn or damage per speed, she nearly or actually does outpace Kongle, and that's really saying something.
Yeah, and that's just in physical attack, let alone that she's a sort of multi-purpose magical damage healer item user. So
pretty fragile. Starts out with just speed and second highest magic stats, but then that can grow a little bit as you go and has that physical option if you need it.
Yeah. So yeah, that would be my top pick, I think, for playable character.
And then for villain?
Well, I've always enjoyed Linus. The Disc 2 situation because I guess because I had so much trouble with it, it became so memorable. Like the first time I played through, I was not prepared in Disc 2 in the castle to deal with someone who would just have 8 turns before you were allowed to have a turn.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that was something that just really, got me and like having to be like, all right, let's figure out how to play this good, you know? And I think I've sort of overcompensated for it in more recent playthroughs where I'm like, okay, it's not actually that hard that I need to just sit there grinding away. But like, if you're not prepared for it, and you don't have like, you know, you don't understand how the speed rings or whatever work, you can be just sitting there watching, you know, the boss just be like, oh, you're on your third move in a row now. It's very tragic.
Yeah, it's definitely no joke. Fun fact, if I remember right, Linus, the first fight, she has more HP than she does in her second fight as a dragoon. So, like, the scaling was very high for the first battle. I think anybody going into that without, you know, any good grasp of the game mechanics, let alone the fact that most of us were, you know, 10 or 11 years old at the time, got roasted pretty thoroughly. But then once you get even a basic understanding of the game mechanics, LOD is just that kind of game where so long as you can get a understanding of the mechanics and the basics, which the game doesn't tell you very well, but if you do, then it's not that hard to keep up usually. Like, there are things to exploit, like elemental weaknesses. If you do a dart special, he's going to do extra damage with his final burst or whatever. If you special with Heat Blade, your D attack also has more power. You know, Shauna can throw burnouts like crazy. So there are options once you learn what to do.
Yeah, and there's a few bosses like that, you know, I'm going back and replaying it now, it's like, oh, okay, it's not that hard. But at the time, the idea of like the dual boss at the end of what's it called, the
Cadessa?
Yeah, the one that suppresses your Dragoon abilities.
Yeah, that's the Grand Jewel.
The Grand Jewel, yeah. That's another one that, as a kid, I was like, oh, this is, you know, I guess I just have to sit here listening to these pucks dancing to this cool music as I grind away so that I can, become strong enough to deal with this. But, you know, yeah, going back now, it's easier than I remember it, but that's also just because I understand all of the mechanics.
Speaking of pucks, did you ever end up noticing that that whole area is kind of a theme to A Midsummer Night's Dream?
Yeah, it definitely has some themes there. I don't know, that the random enemies were always one of my favorite little things in The Legend of Dragoon, that are just like, what's this? Why is there, you know, they've merged together two types of animal, or this is just a, you know, some really odd creature that I have no idea why they're here, but
like the ugly balloon in Limestone Cave.
Oh, like the ugly balloons, yeah. You can't trust ugly balloons.
No, they might poison you.
Yeah.
But they also might drop a poison guard, so I mean, you know, might be worth it.
Yep. So yeah, I mean, and the other thing I guess I'd bring up about The Legend of Dragoon is that, so I'm Australian, I don't know if you can tell from my accent. I'm from a more posh part of Australia, so some people mistake me for British, but I am Australian. But I can speak in an Australian accent if you want. I can say, oh, crikey, mate, I just love Legend of Dragoon. I can catch some crocodiles. But, you know, not how we talk over here. But
that's okay. Just be yourself.
Yeah. But what we did have was a different version, in that the timing was changed because we didn't have... PAL and NTSC had different frame rates. And so it's been interesting sort of trying to get involved with the sort of modding community and stuff now, being like, you know, because we've got all this cool stuff now with hard mode and up-resing and all of that that requires, you know, emulation and everything. And I use the NTSC version for that. But it's like, I think all the timing is like, I don't know, 15% off or something. So I think you have to get used to it.
You've got a lower frame rate, so you have to kind of relearn all the additions.
Yeah. But yeah, and I think it had some dodgy translation as well. Well, no, the whole game had dodgy translation no matter which region you were in, but I think there were some translation differences in my version. I think we had the European version in Australia in terms of the dub, but I'm not sure exactly.
I mean, it was in English, right?
Yeah, it was in English, but which English it was in, I'm gonna have to remember, whether they spell favorite with a U, mm-hmm. and all the other telltale signs.
Yeah, they did a second, well, first I should say, pretty sure the voices were not changed, so the voices you hear are the voices recorded for the North American release, and they just kind of carried over to UK PAL. It was like 6 months later when it came out. But the text script, where the characters are all like talking to each other and you're talking to the NPCs and everything, that was given a second pass. I still don't know to this day, like, if they started with the NA script and then just modded it, or if they just kind of put in a whole new translation team and it just kind of came out slightly different all around. But there are definitely some changes where, for example, I think it was locations are in yellow text instead of red text, possibly a readability issue that they detected with the North American release. And they also changed some things for like an issue of regional sensitivity, like in the UK, they didn't want to use the word bastard. So for our, this also extended to equipment. Our bastard sword became the long sword. And there was also a few instances where bastard is used in the dialogue, and that also got changed to something else. I don't remember what. But we had this awful, like, just bad translation. In the hero competition, you can intentionally lose, and then you still get bumped to second place because even though the enemy beats you in battle, there's just some reason they can't continue. Danton falls over and busts his ankle. Gorgaga cheats with poison. I think Atlo also cheats with some kind of poison or something. But Cerpheus is the worst one because when they retranslated it for UK, it just, well, you'll see. I mean, in the North American release, Cerpheus looks like he might have defeated you, but after the battle, he like stumbles or whatever, and the attendant, Ginger, says, "Oh, it looks like Cerpheus's illness has gotten worsen."
Uh-oh.
So, gotten worsen is not a thing, and you think, okay, if they're gonna redo the translation, maybe they'll fix that in the UK English, for the European release. And so, his illness has gotten worsen was changed to his illness has got worsen. And let me just tell you, that's a worsen translation.
That is worsen. It is interesting what they decide to translate and what they decide to censor. You know, like, cause there's a bunch of stuff that for me as just like a sort of sheltered 10-year-old playing the game, I was like, oh, you're going to say that? Of just like, you know, just in the first, early in the first disc, there's all this of like, you know, you're going to hell or whatever. As like a pun on hell in a prison. Which I don't know if that was a pun in the original Japanese. But you know, they went for it in the English. But yeah, I don't know. I never experienced the gotten worsen or the got worsen because I hadn't considered that you could just lose one of those fights. I mean, aside from the Lloyd fight, obviously, because he dodges all your attacks. But you know, I hadn't considered that you could lose the other ones before and still just continue on with the story. So I hadn't experienced that, but. I don't know, it's an odd one. I guess there's different ways to do it. Like, there's a couple of sort of forced losses in The Legend of Dragoon, I think, around... But yeah, I guess it just depends on how you want to do it. Like, Xenoblade 3, which I've been playing recently, the Xenoblade series is a bit famous for having cutscenes where they just, like, you know, you start by just beating up the boss, and then the boss is like, "You fool, you've done nothing to hurt me." And I'm like, oh, I just brought your HP to zero. But, you know, that's the power of the cutscene.
Ah, so glorious.
Yeah.
There's another thing in LOD that does that kind of thing where, you know, I mean, a game developed starting in 1996, you don't expect it to have this much self-awareness, so it's okay. But there's a thing where you're fighting... When you fight Emperor Dole at the end of Disc 1, and he has two forms. So we've got the regular form. Like I said, there might be spoilers. There's the regular form and the dragoon form. So you take like maybe 3 or 4 or 5 attacks fighting regular Emperor Dole, the human, with his swords and his weird energy cape, and you deplete his HP. And he goes, "Ugh. If you want to play tough, I can play that way too," which I'm pretty sure is the North American version of that text. But in the European, like the UK English, they changed it to "Ugh, if you want to defeat me as dragoons, I can play that way too." So it's more directly saying I'm also a dragoon. But if you didn't start by using, like, you just use your human forms up to that point, then it's kind of a invalid script, because if you didn't transform, then why would you say that?
Yeah, it's that's an interesting one, because I guess most people on their first playthrough would be using Dragoon form. Like, I found that I use it less in subsequent playthroughs because I'm always like, well, I could be grinding up SP to, you know, unlock my new Dragoon level or whatever. Whereas Dragoon form doesn't sort of have anything where you're like, oh, if you do this 20 times, then it will become stronger. So I found myself using it less. But when I was originally playing, I was always relying on the Dragoon form.
Yeah. Also, if you start in Dragoon form, it just is a pacing thing. Like, you could wait until he transforms. But either way, he may do that thing with the magic barrier where some of your turns become kind of wasted SP, wasted transformation time. Because when you attack with physical or magical attacks, it just says zero. And he says, it's a waste.
It's a waste.
It's a stark difference from at the end of the game where instead his sword shatters and he goes, oh, it can't be. That confidence dip, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What should we talk about next? I think before in our practice, we talked about the side multiplayer aspect we were thinking about with the hero competition.
Yeah. I think that it would be interesting to see what it would be like to, play as some of the enemies or play as, you know, a character against another character who's got another player, or even have a co-op mode where, I don't know, there's sort of lots of options for ways that you could, you know, take the idea of The Legend of Dragoon and run with it. But I guess, I don't know, if you want to keep, I guess, the fun of The Legend of Dragoon combat, you might need to come up with additions and things for everyone, which would be fascinating, but a lot of work.
Yeah, it would definitely be extra. But it would be nice, because otherwise, you know, what if I do want to play as a, you know, a Helena Warden or a Senior Warden, and I only get one or two hits per attack, and it's just kind of, you know, underwhelming. Like, if we're going to include non-important characters and have all these, like, little sparrings and skirmishes and stuff, then everybody should have at least some four or five hit combos, if you will, to spice them up, make it a little more interesting, or at least make sure the ability kit is expanded a little bit. So it's not just, okay, if I'm at full HP, I'm allowed to do a single attack. And if I'm at half or one quarter HP, I'm allowed to throw a spark net. You know, something a little more deep than that.
Yeah, because there are rules, I guess, to the enemies. Like, when they go into the red in terms of health, they're always using their special ability and that kind of thing.
But either way, it would be nice for both teams, like in a multiplayer situation, to have those kind of additions, those combo attacks, so that for once, you know, we're used to dealing additions. We're used to dealing those combo attacks. And yes, the enemy can, quote-unquote, counter, but they can only counter at one stage, and then you can override it and that's it. But what if, like, you could practice countering an enemy's combo attacks? We don't get that feature in LOD, but that would be a nice way to, you know, spice things up, where you're actually immersed on the defensive, not just immersed on the offensive.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the comments from people watching it live, and yeah, we've got some. It would have been nice to see more of the older dragoons, the sort of previous generation. I think that's the kind of thing that if we were in an era where we had DLC, you know, just like a little side stories and things, we would have seen just like, you know, a little story where you played as the old dragoons.
Yeah.
And they had some variations in their fighting styles and that kind of thing.
Yeah, a little snippet would be cool. In fact, in more recent time, Warframe did this. It's a free-to-play, like, Space Ninjas, shooter, melee, all kinds of things game. There's a lot in that game now. But basically, to add on to the game's content, they created some, like, mini stories where you were playing from the point of view of enemy factions that you're normally, some of the enemy factions are Grineer and Corpus. Grineer is, like, cloned soldiers, and Corpus is all about technology and high-tech weapons. And they have two little, like, micro campaigns where you play as one of their soldiers for once and are, you know, working with just their guns and just their environment. And it was a really nice way to just get a, I guess I would call it like a vertical slice, like a proof of concept. It's a safer way to address that without building something huge. And besides, I mean, if we ever do get an LOD remake or a prequel in the Dragon campaign time, I would want 99% of the game to be single player anyway. Like, I would only want multiplayer for if there was enough extra budget and extra time after the regular game was properly built. One extra I would definitely consider is, you know, letting us verse each other in the hero competition, and have like leaderboards for that could be fun, as well as if it was the prequel situation, fighting in that that unfair coliseum that the Winglies ran in Cadessa.
Yeah, I mean, I think that whole, like, because that whole arena sort of part of the game had a bunch of mini games, so it would be fun to just have like a leaderboard for everyone's, you know, obstacle course times or whatever. You know, if it was, if it were to be adapted into the modern era, it would be fun to see some leaderboards and things in that, in that sense. But yeah, no, I mean, I think there's plenty, like, I'm sort of surprised that Legend of Dragoon, even if it didn't get a sequel, that it didn't get more games with combat in the style of the Legend of Dragoon.
There might be a reason for that, actually. I didn't foresee talking about this at all, but there might slightly be a reason for that. As some of you may know, while there's nothing quite exactly like it, there are similarities. Like, one of the devs that came onto LOD from a Mario game, I think it was Mario RPG or something like that, they had a sort of timing attack thing.
Yeah.
Shadow Hearts has a modified... call it like a judgment ring, and it's like if you took a D attack but it was only a single revolution and you press X at certain points along that single revolution, it's like slices of a pie. So as parts of the pie, there's like little triangles that are colored and you put X in those. So there's things like that. But part of the reason might be that we found, I think it was Doom Metal, the one who's helping us with extracting the 3D models, he found patent documents. Patent, the pronunciation doesn't matter anymore. He found these patents. Actually, you know, it might be patents because I saw the movie A Knight's Tale, so it's patents of nobility, right? So I'm going to say patents. I can do what I want. And these patent documents were explaining the combat system of Legend of Dragoon. And they, this is actually where that sticker comes from. If somebody in the Q&A channel will open our sticker thing and post that black and white monster character, that creature is from the patent documents where they were demonstrating in these like visual figures, figure one, figure two, figure three, of what it would look like when a character attacks and there would be the overlapping squares. So they might have kind of patented the interactive combo attack design. It might maybe be Sony's fault because they were worried about trade secrets. I'm not sure.
Yeah, look, I love the images in patent documents because they're just like weirdly functional in their own way, but they just, I don't, is that what we're looking at here? Is that this little creature with a frog face?
Yep.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I always thought it looked like Crazy Frog. So we found that this year, they're always finding new things.
But yeah, no, like, cause we, there are, so a few of the Mario RPG games, there's sort of the Mario and Luigi series, the Paper Mario games. A few of those have a sort of timing based, you know, like Mario can jump on someone's head, but they can jump three times on someone's head if you tap the button at the right time kind of thing. But we never really had, yeah, like the sort of rhythm combo attack thing. Like, you get quick time events like that for, you know, for a whole generation of gaming, quick time events were the big thing, but it's, that's not quite the same as not quite the same as what Legend of Dragoon offered.
Indeed. I would like to take a moment to catch up on the Q&A so that anyone else who might be wondering, who might also like these answers, you can all know that. So Papa Tango says, would you be willing to host a compilation of D&D or Dungeons & Dragons content related to LOD on our main website? Trying to build campaigns is difficult because info is scattered, and they were mentioning that we already have our TTRPG channel here on Discord. So I had said to them, yes, absolutely. We definitely want to make sure all branches of the fandom are included. Like, the loose theme here is that all these different aspects of our community are kind of like all the different fruits on the divine tree. So, like, we're probably at or past the point of literally having 108 different things going on with different projects and features and stuff. So I would love to do that. Like, we already support things like the speedrunning community, and I would love to include TTRPG stuff so that people can have an easier time setting up D&D campaigns or Pathfinder or maybe even something homebrew, who knows. Monoxide asks, who is going to draw Tony Hawk as a Dragoon for the art contest? You know, if somebody does that, you know, that's... I don't know how to respond to that. That's both good and bad, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he could do all sorts of tricks, like, you know, forget doing a 1080 spin. If you just had some wings, you know, you could do a 10-10-1080 spin.
You know, I used to play Tony Hawk. Like, wasn't there special moves like, quote-unquote, the 900, and so we could make a new one called the 108 or something?
Yeah, like, there's... Well, because it's basically how many degrees you can spin is what it you know, what it is. Like, if you're doing...
Okay.
If you're doing 900, it means that you've spun, you know, so many times around in the air. And I think Tony Hawk was one of the first people to, you know, have pioneered some of those techniques, which is why he's sort of famous, even though he's, like, in his, I don't know, 50s now.
Oh, don't say that.
He's old. We're all old. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater came out in like 1998 or something.
Yeah.
And so. And
he's only 32 years old, right? Totally.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he's, they actually did update some of the stuff for that remake where like they have an up to date Tony Hawk.
Oh.
And it's like, you know, modern day Tony Hawk. He seems to still be doing fine. It's a bit of a sidetrack from the podcast, but like it seems like he's doing fine. A lot of sports people tend to, like, I don't know, by their 40s and 50s just have deep like arthritis or whatever and struggle doing things, but he seems to still be out and about skating and everything.
That's really cool.
So yeah, if you want to draw him as a Dragoon, I'm sure he'd love it. He's always on Twitter complaining about how people only sort of recognize him so
as a skater,
or just like as a person. Like, people keep coming up to him and being like, you remind me of Tony Hawk. So a tragic existence where he's like famous but sort of like in a way where people just stare at him being like, do I know you from somewhere?
Yeah.
So yeah, and I think in terms of the comments, yes, the Tony Hawk is a Dragoon. That's a good idea. And yes, and the guards running around yelling long instead of bastard, that would be quite good.
That's a deep, that's really deep. I just, I know they say something else. I just don't know what it was. Okay. I only remember Bastard Sword changes to Long Sword. I'm sorry. Oh, God. Celestial Orion says that they were surprised we didn't fight the older dragoons in both their normal and dragoon forms. Could have seen a couple of their additions. That's actually a cool idea. I would also have at least settled for, you know, this was just a scope of video game development thing, of course. They didn't necessarily have the same moves canonically, but it would have been nice to see them have their own D attacks. This is only shown like barely with Zeke.
Yeah.
Whereas Zeke's whole style is more savage. But other than that, it's kind of a copy, and it would have been great to see like what their combo attacks would have looked like and how they would differ.
Just like a Lavitz and Albert situation would have been interesting, just of like, oh, they're sort of similar, but they're just doing it at a different pace. And they're doing different neat tricks while they do it, like spinning around in the air and doing somersaults and things.
Plus the fact that two of the three enemy dragoons you fight that are living, so to speak, Dol and Linus, do not use the same weapon class. So, like, those would be, like, exclusive editions that there's no way you would have anything like it, because Dol has dual swords, and Linus has these, like, radial disc things that can be thrown, like a thrown melee weapon, or hit up close. And there's just so much novelty there that could be explored for additional combo attacks and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, I think it's fun to be able to play as different, like, I've been playing Live Alive recently, the remake. I don't know if you know much about this. People don't know how to pronounce it. They're not sure if it's Live Alive or Live Alive. But it's,
yeah,
it's Live Alive. It's sort of a Super Nintendo game that never got brought into official translation until in the West until this year on the Switch. And one of the things about that is that, like, you know, every character has a move set, and, you know, there are chances for you to just, like, jump into a boss or something and be like, you know, here's their move set, and it's all fits together, which would have been cool, but obviously it is a bunch of extra work for my marginal side benefits. But, you know, theoretically, if there was a remaster or something, that's the kind of thing that would be really fun.
Another question from Papa Tango. One of the game directors said that a sequel to LOD was in the works at some point. Did he ever elaborate on the direction the story was going to take? So this is probably referring to a blog that was written by Shuhei Yoshida. Shuhei was the producer for Legend of Dragoon in Japan in 1999, and he also oversaw producing the North American release because he was going overseas to North America at the time, so it was perfect timing. And he wrote a blog in the year 2012, and this may or may not have been when they released Legend of Dragoon on the PlayStation Store, where it could be bought digitally for $6 on PS3 and PSP. And he mentions in the blog that he knew a second title was in development, but at some point during pre-production, it all fell apart and the teams went to other projects, and he does not know the exact reason why. So it was going to be a thing, and it probably was going to be on PS2 with, like, way better graphical fidelity and everything, but for some reason it fell apart. The assumed reason would be that it wasn't as good a financial risk because the game did not make good sales in Japan or in Europe, and the only reason it got their the only reason Sony got their money back was through the sales in North America, and even then it was a very close contest because they were fighting for space with all of the other RPGs that were also being released too crunched together, which them and LOD were inspired largely by Final Fantasy VII. So there was just too many RPGs on the market and not enough money coming in to buy all of those games.
Yeah, and I remember The Legend of Dragoon being, like, much bigger with fans than it was with critics in terms of, like, you know, how they rated it. Like, I remember reading reviews and stuff that were like, oh, they've just made Final Fantasy VII with Power Rangers. Which, you know, to me sounded like a good time.
Right.
But, you know, that's like, you've convinced me already. But, you know, to critics, they were like, this is, you know, unoriginal or whatever. But, and so its sort of average ratings were in the, I don't know, high 60s or something like that. Whereas fans, I think it was a lot more beloved with.
That was also around the time when, I believe, if I remember right, if my research is correct, there was that was the time period when reviewers, like in gaming magazines, like Game Informer and all that, didn't necessarily have enough time to finish RPGs because they were so much longer than other games. But they didn't have the time to justify playing through the whole thing, let alone a 100% playthrough to check through all the extra dialogue and appreciate that, for example. So they ended up having to just kind of look at it from the surface level and maybe finish disc one, and that might have been time for them. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's not just at a specific time. That's just the eternal dilemma of when you're on the grind as a reviewer who's got something, you know, needs to pump out articles, you know, on a regular basis. You can't be like, all right, I'll just not do any work for a week and a half as I play 10 hours a day on this RPG.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, especially if they don't send the game to you like a month before release so that you've got time to play it.
I would like to circle back a moment to that whole canceled game thing, because another thing I needed to mention is that many months ago, I acquired a Chinese strategy guide. Now, generally speaking, the holy grail, if you will, for in terms of LOD merch and information is a Japanese guidebook. That's got the like developers' official words in there on additional lore and their own 300-page walkthrough and like the damage calculation formula, and that's like the media stuff, right? Overall, I think that's still true. However, the Chinese strategy guide is a contender almost, because they have their own walkthrough. It's not really that important. It was just, you know, for people in that language. I don't know the exact language, if it's Mandarin or not. I apologize. It's also titled as a Taiwanese strategy guide, which makes it confusing. But they had a couple exclusive things in there. And the first exclusive thing they had was an interview, which I believe was with Yasuyuki Hasebe, who was setting up the story and everything. And he talks about the canceled sequel. Now, the problem is we had a volunteer translator for like a day, but we didn't get very far. They just disappeared as soon as they came. So if any of you know LOD fans who are bilingual and also speak a Chinese language, like simplified Chinese, Mandarin, whatever it'll be, we would love to have help translating that so we can accurately read what it says about the canceled second LOD game. It sounded like from my machine translation with Google that they definitely wanted to do another one, and they were exploring this or that idea, but I just can't say with confidence because it's a machine translation. So any fluent speakers out there, we could really use some volunteers for projects and tasks like this to help us decode the information and share it with the global fandom. The second thing that I should mention, because I don't think I mentioned this on the last podcast, is that there are unique illustrations of all of the equipment in the game, including consumable items. So not just combat stuff, but even your Angel's Prayer, your Burnout, your Healing Potion, all have unique illustrated graphics. And I'm 99% sure that they are official graphics, because some of them are also used in the Japanese guidebook, and they look identical. So I'm pretty certain. Like, the War God's Calling is shown like a mask, and Ultimate War God is like an entire body armor. It actually kind of looks like a BDSM outfit for some reason. I don't know why. There, the Dragoon, the Elemental Dragoon armors, like the torso chest pieces, look amazing. And there's just so many, like, the Soul Eater looks badass and weird and hard to kind of tell what it is, but it looks all ethereal. The Pretty Hammer is actually pink and has, like, glitter or something around it. There's some pretty cool stuff in there, to the point that there's even an actual whip for one of Rose's weapons. It looks like a whip, not a dagger or a rapier, so, like, there's some really creative stuff in there that I'm sure we all wish could have actually made it into the game.
Yeah, and it would be fascinating to see some of that, because there's some things that you just don't, you're not really sure what it is, especially when they just cut off the name sometimes in the game, because it's like, oh, there's too many letters here. And so you're just carrying around a thing that's called, you know, disc four, the, like, you get the something X. Or you do if you do it
psychedelic
right.
Bomb?
Yeah, and it's just called like Psych X or something in the description, because it's like too much too long a word or something. So you just come up with your own ideas of what it is sometimes, I think.
Yep. Fun fact, the previous name considered for that was the Omega Bomb. It's in the game files, I think, where Omega Bomb is the Psych Bomb and Omega Master is the Psych Bomb X, which is repeatable. They were considering having it listed as a good for some reason. I don't know how that would have worked mechanically because goods aren't in your inventory in battle, but it was going to be there. Maybe it was just like an achievement marker kind of thing with the goods list.
Yeah, it would have been interesting. I don't know, like, you get a lot of misconceptions in fan communities based on some of these older games and the stuff that they sort of, you know, abstract. Like Phoenix Down is a famous example from Final Fantasy. People are constantly discovering that Phoenix Down is like a feather, like a down as in, you know, like in a pillow, rather than Phoenix Down as in like you're a military guy being like Phoenix Down. You know, because people just see the text and they don't see the accompanying official art, and so it never clicks for them.
Yeah, I feel that. The last thing I'll call out from the podcast Q&A channel is Celestial Orion says that Dart was supposed to be a DLC character in PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, and that there's an image of the model out there. Many of the fans perhaps have seen this image, and it's actually part of the reason why I decided to join on a modding project where, you know, I'm known for a lot of community organizing and archivism and research and all this stuff, but, like, I don't do a lot of modding, not anymore. And I thought, you know, this is something I do want to try because Careface was starting to talk about it and advertise it, and I was like, ooh, I would love to help, and, like, is there a thing you need help with? And he said, sure. And so one of the things I've been doing is adding battle background music. So you can hear LOD tracks like the boss tracks or the regular battle tracks or the Volcano Velude track for this lava track, this lava stage, excuse me, in Tekken 7. Tekken 7 is the game this mod is used for. So we're basically replacing all of the Tekken characters with LOD characters. And yes, a lot of people say, well, why not Soul Calibur? Because they actually have, you know, melee weapons. That's not something we know how to do, so we're just working with what we can. And it kind of creates a new paradigm. Like, what if they did just have their fists and their, like, their arms and their legs, and that was it? So it's been a really fun journey. And for me, the reason I mention this is because it's kind of like a fun revenge in a way, which is kind of doubly meaningful since Dart starts his story with revenge against the Black Monster. So technically it's a revenge against PlayStation All-Stars not managing to succeed and get him in. Well, now we do have him in a brawler fighting game, and it's kind of vindicating in a weird way, you know?
Yeah, it would have been fun to have Dart appear in a fighter game, but there's lots of stuff just gets left on the, you know, drawing room floor for a lot of video games. And unfortunately, this is one of the series where we just haven't had anything since the first game.
Okay, so I think at this point, if you agree, Cody, we can move into the community spotlight mentions and then do our outro stuff.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, so if you want me to do all three, I will, or you're welcome to do one or two of these, but we've got a fan dub project, a script mod project, and reverse engineering to mention. So I guess I will start with the fan dub. A community member named Nogard, N-O-G-A-R-D, had come to me a month or two ago or something to talk about fan dub stuff and getting extra volunteers to help do all the voiceovers for it. Basically, a fan dub is a project where fans of a game give it new voiceover content to supplement text dialogues and or replace existing voiceovers. The exact goals and quality will range due to, you know, the scope of the project and whatnot, but I have to attest that there are some really mighty quality standards coming out of this group. I've heard, like, three of the episodes so far, and I think they're doing it justice. So it kind of is like a curated let's play in a way, an abbreviated let's play where they, you know, might have some background content, fighting a few minor monsters here and there, but it's mainly just following the main story of the game and boss fights and just fleshing out what's there already. So they're even committed to including other quality of life improvements, like when the upscale mod gets completed, they're prepared to include that so that the game looks better. And they're already using a script mod from Voidwave, which we'll be mentioning here in a moment, that cleans up the translation and just makes the whole experience overall more enjoyable. So their latest episode drops today. I think he actually just posted it in the Streams and Promos channel. So if y'all are interested in curated Let's Play and like dub, fan dub voiceover stuff, definitely head to their YouTube channel and catch up on the series. There's like 5 or 6 episodes now, and they're not too long.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I mean, as long as when Dart does a volcano, he still yells, "Volcano!" That's the important thing.
Yeah, the qualifying factor, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I bonded with my friends over, holding sticks in the playground or whatever, you know. But no, fan dubs are a really cool idea, so.
Indeed. Would you like to take the next one?
Yeah, so the script mod. I'm not sure how, I haven't tried it yet to see just how wide-ranging the script mod is, but I know there are definitely parts of the original Legend of Dragoon that you sort of get taken out of the experience by being like, what are you saying, or why are you saying it like that? So I think it would be quite interesting to play through it with a modded script.
Indeed. It's super thorough. And if you would like to try this mod, in an emulated playthrough, such as through the, RetroArch with Beetle or on DuckStation or something, you can figure out how to install this by heading to legendofdragoon.org/downloads. There's a link for the script mod by Voidwave. And I think the patcher that handles it, LOD Mods from the Flying Zamboni, is also in that list. And it comes with a README that should be self-explanatory. If you need additional help, you can ask in our community Discord server for help with the installation. And then finally, the last spotlight I'll do for today is a reverse engineering project. Sometimes I still trip over my words trying to explain this, because I'm not a programmer in the slightest, but I'm going to try, and I'm going to borrow what Monoxide told me. So Monoxide, or Corey, who I had on for the previous podcast episode, which was all about reverse engineering, was doing a kind of decompilation project to try and reverse engineer the code. And that's really hard to do in general when you don't have the source code. If you have the source code, it's easy to rebuild it or do something new with it, as you may know. But we don't, so that's harder. But for whatever reason, Monoxide knows how to do this, and they were willing to put their time into it to try and unravel this whole thing and then try and rebuild it in such a way that it's not even emulated, but it's just running natively. So the way they told me is emulation is when a piece of software like EPSXE or the Beetle Core on RetroArch or DuckStation tries to emulate literally how PS1 works. So it's going to have the same kind of power limitations in terms of like processing power and all this stuff. And it's going to, you know, cap out. Of course, there's going to be some improvements and it might run a little smoother on a computer, but basically there are still a lot of restrictions in place. And with a native rebuild from the ground up, all of those restrictions kind of go out the door and the possibilities are way more vast. For example, you could have near zero loading times so that when you're moving from one screen to another in FLETS or any location, it's going to load like instantly instead of waiting that 3 or 4 seconds for the screen to fade out from black. So that would probably improve the quality of life a lot if you could like move around town quicker and have, I mean, we all know LOD is a game that's mostly about waiting for loading times, waiting for dialogues to finish. And that would really improve the replay value, I think.
And there are some points where I think the frame rate and that kind of thing struggles. You know, that just with the limitations of the PlayStation, that it would be quite interesting to see it. Yeah, I think it would be really cool. Because once you've done that and you're not working within the restrictions of the PlayStation 1 anymore, there's a whole lot of possibilities that you can go with.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop a link in the podcast Q&A channel just for convenience to the video that we have released today to do a kind of showcase. We hit a milestone. Monoxide hit a milestone where the first cutscene actually plays through all the way. It looks a little rough, but we're going for function first, and we'll polish it up, make it look pretty later. But this URL shows you that it is possible to rebuild the game beyond regular emulation to the point where we can do all kinds of crazy stuff. And while it looks like you're just watching a normal low-res recording of a cutscene with a lot of glitches looking and graphics and all that, it really is just fascinating that we can do this at all. And once we get past this point, we're gonna blow your minds, basically. It's going to be fascinating what you can see.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what could happen. So, yeah, I definitely look forward to the future of our Legend of Dragoon modding community.
Indeed. So with that, that takes us to our regular outro stuff. So things I'll mention are we still have our ongoing petition. If you have not signed the petition by chance, that's a part of our remake campaign that is ongoing, a push for Sony to get us an official new title for LOD. That is at legendofdragoon.org/petition. We are also always looking for volunteers on various community projects, whether it's like kind of a whole project or just a simple task. Either way, 5 minutes can make all of the difference. We need anything from, you know, info hunters to web designers and coders to help us plan past our WordPress format website, more modders like we were just talking about to help expand the modding capabilities, add more new features and increase the replay factor, or add new things to the game that weren't there before, all kinds of different things. So keep staying tuned in the Volunteer Tasks channel in the Discord server, and also we'll have a new projects page up on the Legend of Dragoon website pretty soon. I'm hoping next week. I already have a new list of projects in a master spreadsheet, so now I have to collate all of that and file it and update our Trello board, and then I'll be able to build the new projects page on the main site so everyone knows like what the projects are, which ones are active, which ones are benched, which ones need helpers, which ones don't need helpers, and estimated dates of release for things that are coming up, and all that stuff will be pretty comprehensive. For anyone who is listening who is not in here in the live broadcast, because if you are, you're already in the Discord server, of course, but for anyone listening to the recording, we have a Discord server where we all chat conversationally about stuff, unlike other social media platforms, and it's also where a lot of us do our like research and find out things for the first time, so new news kind of happens here first before it gets disseminated to the website and stuff. So our Discord URL is discord.gg/dragoon, discord.gg/DRAGOON. Thanks to Server Boost Level 3 from some community members, thank you all for doing that. We can have that vanity URL. It's pretty nice to have.
Oh yeah, it's a good URL.
All right, so now Cody, if you have anything you would like to do with regards to self-promo, you know, if you have a Twitter handle to throw out there where people can follow you, personal website, or where they can find you doing other stuff like the Zelda podcast, take a few minutes to talk about you and where people can find your stuff.
All right. So, yeah, I am on Twitter on at Magicody. That's M-A-G-I-C-O-D-Y, kind of like Magikarp. I'll just post it in there.
I love Magikarp.
Yeah, I also love Magikarp. So, yeah, you'll find it's mostly Zelda stuff because I help out with the fan website, ZeldaUniverse.net. but I do non-Zelda stuff too. Like I've, my most recent tweet is a link to my review of Live Alive, the JRPG that we were just talking about. So yeah, and I have a, you know, you can find my other stuff probably through my Twitter. I have a YouTube channel where I've done a full Let's Play of The Legend of Dragoon that spanned about 10 years. I started it in 2010 and finished it off in about 2020.
Oh, wow. That's a long one.
Yeah, well, mostly due to having like 2 year breaks between episodes, not because I just got really lost while playing the game.
Fair enough.
But, you know, it's a... It is interesting to see the sort of, you know, I go back to my first episode and I'm like, oh, I sound so young back then, because I was young. I was 20 when I, started doing those episodes. Now I'm 32. So, you know, time flies. But I'm sure everyone here understands that, because I'm sure everyone here must be old if they're on a Legend of Dragoon fan, Discord.
Unlike certain Wingly communities, everyone here on Earth does age.
Yeah, but look, if there are young people, if there are just like 13-year-olds who are like, oh, I love The Legend of Dragoon for PlayStation 1, my dad, you know, used to play it all the time or whatever, then welcome, you know. It would be good to have some new generations getting involved in this game. But yeah, for me, Yeah, happy to do this podcast. Divine Dragoon was my username that I went with as a kid, and I brought it back for this Discord server because I've always loved the game.
Even back when I was literally the year 2000 on the Game Winners forums, like my first ever moniker in the community was Ultimate Dragoon Fan with underscores between it, so I totally relate.
Yeah, well, I just always was like, oh, the Divine Dragoon, that's cool. He just like shoots cannons out of his hands or whatever. I wish he could play a bit more of the Divine Dragoon stuff, but yeah, that always, I was like, well, that's the coolest thing you could be aside from like Goku. You know, those are the two coolest people in the world is Divine Dragoon Dart and Goku.
Oh, that's some really high honors right there.
Yeah. Yeah, up in the big leagues.
Okay, so that'll do for episode number 3. I will work hard to make sure episode 4 does not take quite as long to happen. So if it could happen in late September or early October, that'll be awesome. And we'll have some more updates and news and fun stuff to share with y'all. Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast, whether you're here live or after the fact. And we'll see you next time.
Yep. See ya. Thanks for listening.
Okay, so the show is over. I'm recording this the next morning. We have about 20 seconds left until we hit the 1 hour and 8 minute mark in the recording, the number 108 being significant in The Legend of Dragoon. I know this is technically a 68-minute recording and not a 108-minute recording, but hey, 1 hour 8 minutes is good enough for me. And we're hitting that time now, so bye!